Hey everybody, it's JR. I just want to talk to you a little bit today about something that happened to me the other day. And Dave asked me if I'd tell you about it, just because it kind of changed my life. I think it'll change your life. It changed his life. Changed my aunt's life. Changed everybody's life. So I was down at my cousin Skeeter's shop the other day, and I walked in there and I was trying to steal a couple parts because my Ford ain't working right. And Skeeter walked in. He didn't know what I was doing because Skeeter's kind of stupid. And he was like, "Hey, bud, I got something I need to tell you. Why don't you take a seat right there?" I had a seat right there. He said, "I want to tell you about something that I found out today. If you haven't heard about it, I think it's right time you did." He said, "It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way imaginable to make a podcast." And I was like, "Skeeter, all right, well, you have my curiosity, you got my attention, bud." So he said, "Well, let me talk to you about it." He said, "It's free. There's creation tools on it. They allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. And it'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, many other things, many more platforms. You can make money from your podcast, no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place." And I started thinking about it, and I ain't never heard Skeeter say none of these words before. So obviously it took to him pretty well. It must be pretty important to him. So I just want to come on here and tell you that you should download Anchor today. And, you know, just do with it what you want to do, man. Just have a good time with it. My cousin Skeeter's making a podcast now. And he just is just having time of his life with it. And, you know, I keep stealing his parts, but he's making money from Anchor, and it kind of offsets it all, so he can keep living, and he can feed his kids and his family and all that stuff right there. So download Anchor today, and maybe you can be, you know, the next Skeeter. I don't know.
Following total atomic annihilation, the rebuilding of this great nation of ours may fall to you. That's why we here at Vault Boys WB will take you on an oral tour of the beautiful state of West Virginia. There's no other place to be better prepared for the impending fallout. Now we go live to our team of experts.
Hello, and welcome to yet another week with Vault Boys WV, a mutated podcast crossbreeding our shared history in Appalachia with a post-apocalyptic state in Fallout 76. I am your country road scholar, Dave Chaffins, and joining me is my favorite son of a Mothman, Austin O'Connor. What's going down, Austin?
Well, this feels different.
What do you mean? You mean the sound is not reverberating off the walls?
The sound is not reverberating.
It sounds like we're talking a normal conversation.
They
probably won't notice a difference.
We are in Dave's murder basement.
Yes.
And
this is not the murder basement. This is the fallout shelter.
Oh. Well, there's a window right there, though.
Those windows are made of, like, look how, go up there, tap that window, and you will see that it is made of, like, glass bricks. So you can see through them, but it's like looking through, like, a 90s Nirvana.
It looks like
video.
My great aunt's glasses that are, like,
yes,
super crazy thick.
And, yes.
Yeah.
So, like, you could hit them.
I don't want to hit them.
I had let me just start it off. And, you know, how we normally talk about, like, stuff we've been into this week.
Yeah.
I had a dream, a very relevant dream. And I guess it's part of doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I was sleeping, and then we found out. I mean, I didn't start.
As in, like, you and I both?
No. This is me and my wife.
Oh, well, I guess.
Yeah, you weren't involved.
Me, whatever.
No, I don't care about you.
Yeah.
Watching the news. And we found out that there was going to be nuclear bombs dropped in the United States. And so,
how did that newscast go?
I mean, it was like, oh, but we had there was a few days. Like, they were like, hey, by the way, heads up, in like a week, this is going
to
happen.
Yeah, you had time to evacuate. They were going to at least be gracious before they dropped the bombs.
Well, like, where would we evacuate to? Exactly. So... So we,
that's a good point.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to evacuate anywhere.
He caught me there.
So we were like, okay, we don't have any canned food. And so I was like, well, I guess we got to go Kroger and get canned food. So I'm dreaming about us going to Kroger, and everybody's out getting freaking canned food from Kroger. All the aisles, they just got rid of all the whatever food, and there's just like canned food for miles. So We get back. We got all this canned food, and we're like, okay, where do we go? I was like, well, I guess it would be safer in the basement because we have, I mean, it's like four layers of brick down here. So like nothing, like it's not going to be like walls, you know, it's going to be like some like legit stuff. It's a little bit underground. Mm-hmm. I need to fix there's a full bathroom down here and a shower. Mm-hmm. It's over there in the corner. But I haven't fixed the toilet. And so like, I need to fix that. So in the dream, I fixed that. I got the shower working.
Do you know how to do that in real life?
Yeah, I've got all the stuff.
I don't.
See, I've got all the stuff. And here's the thing about owning a home. There are, this is like, I'm like on my high horse here, my millennial high horse of casting down. There are things that always need to be done. There's like an ongoing list, and this is the fallacy of owning a home. There's always stuff that you need to do. But the moment you get into something, four problems occur that create more problems. And so one project can turn into like a month-long project.
That's why I like renting my apartment right now.
Yes.
That is the one. I mean, there are some things I wish I could have, you know. I wish I had, you know, a backyard that I could enjoy and relax and, you know, have a dog and take. But then I'm like, oh, man.
Here's the great thing about your situation is you can just come over here. And then you get a yard and dogs.
That's
and
very true.
A murder basement.
But, like, I want these things, and then, like, my heat goes out. And I'm just like, hey, Sam, heat's out, and the next day it's fixed. So it's like, cool, don't have to deal with it.
And it's here, it's like, you gotta, when our air conditioner went out, I had to, like, get behind the air conditioner, figure out where the wires were, like, run into the house, get in the crawl space, crawl through there, find where the wires were, found out the wires were frayed, get a bunch of duct tape, cut off the wires in certain spots, and reattach, like, do electrical work on my AC unit. But the joy of it is that once you think you've got it, and you plug it in, or you, like, start it up, and it works, there is no other feeling, like...
Just a feeling of accomplishment.
Of accomplishment.
Well, it sounds like you. Yeah, I feel like if it was gonna fall, I would probably come over here with you guys.
Yes,
maybe.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
I'm trying to think. I genuinely can't think of
the room that we're
in
now. This is our room. This is not your room. So I'm just allowing you in this domain.
Yeah.
You would have to. There, we've got laundry machines.
I could sleep on the laundry machines.
There. You could use it as like that dryer as a warmer if we still have electricity.
Yeah.
Overall. So, had this dream, got the canned food, got down here, and then I was like, well, like, what if there's raiders?
Yeah,
and
well,
so,
they could maybe get in here, I guess.
Yeah, and so I decided that...
We need turrets.
Well, no, I was like, well, maybe I should board up some stuff, and so I started boarding up windows.
Yeah.
And I start boarding up the doors, and I'm like, well, I guess, I mean, if they get in here, they're going to know there's a basement there. So I just, like, start cementing that door. Like, I'm like, we're just here. Like, if we need out, we'll get freaking pickaxe and get the freak out of here.
Well, so the good news about here, though, there's so many houses as opposed to if you're out in the middle of nowhere. Like, in the middle of nowhere, if someone sees a house, they're like, oh, I'm going to go to that house.
Yeah. My dog is with the new studio. We now have visitors.
We have this is our first guest.
This is our first guest. This is my dog Lucas. He is being very quiet, but he also is like
he shouldn't have said that because now he's gonna bark. But what I was saying was, so you have these like in the middle of nowhere. They're like, you know, it's more of a target here. This house. There's so many houses. Maybe they won't raid this house. Maybe this one. Maybe they just happen not to get to this part of the street because there's so many others to choose from.
There's so many targets, and they all kind of like everything kind of looks the same, you know.
Or maybe this is the first one they just coincidentally choose, and we die.
That's true. So I'm having this dream. So. We're down here. I've got the food. I've boarded up, and then I woke up, and I was like, "Oh, thank God!" You know, I don't have to. I don't have
Isn't
to
that
deal
the
with
most
this.
Relieving feeling?
But
when
then
you realize...
it was like, wait a second, I'm not prepared for a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, I don't really think. I would say that probably at least 90% of the country's population isn't, though. So you're not alone in that.
Yeah, I need to be. You know how they have those like be prepared things, like you know, like a Vault-Tec, be prepared for the you know.
This is fun.
I think because if I remember, because I don't even listen to the beginning of this. I think we said in preparation for the fallout in my little recorded intro.
We are not practicing what we preach.
No, I need a wasteland survival guide. Maybe that's what we can collectively get together.
Maybe we
be legitimately how to survive the apocalypse on our street in Charleston.
Right. Well, what's funny is my uncle in Florida.
Yeah.
He is very paranoid, very paranoid person.
Mm.
But he's also very knowledgeable.
Mm.
He is more so prepared for a sort of apocalyptic happening that involves zombies.
Oh, okay.
He is, and I say that and people are like, oh, ha, 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 yeah, he's ready for that. No, he's ready for that to happen. If it happens, he has placed, and this could just be for anything too that happens, he has placed weapons throughout his home, hidden, that only he and my aunt know about where they are.
Mm.
They showed me one time, so I felt special.
That's cool.
So they have weapons placed in strategic locations in case they need it. He got cameras set up around the exterior of his house. And he is currently trying to purchase one of those big air raid horns to put on his roof. And it's funny, he sounds...
It was like a klaxon or something.
Yeah, like one of those. So he wants to get that.
Yeah.
I don't think my aunt's going to let him do it.
Yeah.
But it's just funny to me. He has now grown this long beard and he's gotten very much into Vikings, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves Iron Maiden. Loves Iron Maiden. He sees them every time they're on the East Coast.
Yeah,
but
so he likes zombies.
Yeah.
Vikings.
Yeah.
What about ninjas?
I don't know. He has a lot of random weapons. But he's here's the thing.
He has
real blades, like the Wolverine claws, but they're real blades, to put real deal Wolverine claws.
Okay.
I've messed with him a lot, and we mess with him, but he's a really cool guy. I like going to his house because he is one of the most eccentric people you'll meet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool stuff because I'm such a nerd. I'm into the stuff that he's into typically. So I mess with him about maybe being a little too paranoid about things, but genuinely, if there was a nuclear fallout or any sort of apocalyptic happening,
you're going to his house.
If I can make it to Florida in time, I doubt that I could. But this is one of those situations that you see in the apocalyptic movies where the main character has to get somewhere. They have to journey to get here. I would try to make it down to South Florida to get to his house. Now, by that point, he might just shoot me when I show up on his street.
Right.
I don't know, but it would be one of
those
things.
You gotta have a call sign. You should form a faction with him.
What's funny is if I brought this up to him, he would be all in for it. He'd be like, "All right, this is our code. If you have to alert this and blah blah blah." It would be a real thing. He would not be joking at all.
Let me tell you something. You need to share that code with us when it comes time, and then that way, podcast listeners, we can all go to South Florida. And
just throw up in front of him.
Yeah.
If you throw up,
they're making that. Where is it outside of Miami? Because they're making that Fallout Miami mod, you know, and then we can just do that.
I don't want
that's much better than doing Fallout 76 here in my basement.
Not that anybody would, I don't really think anybody would ever try to find my uncle. He lives about an hour and a half.
Well, let me stop you
Miami.
There because let me tell you, there's some secret information I don't want to share.
Yeah.
Because I've been to his house, and he has shown me things, and I'm just now telling you this.
Oh, wow. You're good at keeping
secrets. We go way back.
Yeah.
We're best friends.
Well, that's
good. Austin, on that note, let's get into our next segment. So, Austin, this week on Inside the Vault, we kind of missed, I guess, last week's. Maybe the week before. I'm not sure. There's a lot of the same information that's out there. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was this new mode that they're adding to the game eventually called survival mode, which I think is kind of on the nose, you know, because isn't the mode that we're in survival mode?
If you think about it.
I'm I mean,
we are in real life
survival mode. Right, well, they're calling they're distinguishing the current like vanilla Fallout 76 experience adventure mode.
Mm. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, and they're calling this mode the new mode survival mode.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. I have a stick. It's like the branding.
Do go on.
I don't like the branding of it. I'm not a fan of the branding of this.
You remember those commercials?
What are you talking about?
My brand. I think it was like 1-800-CONTACTS or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My brand.
My favorite is the local the local lawyer's office here in Charleston that they got William Shatner to do.
I was watching TV one day, and it was like, oh, there's William Shatner just talking about a downtown Charleston, West Virginia law. Like, and it's so like deep, like just deep and serious.
Yes. Do you have a medical issue that you don't know what to do with?
At the end, he kind of smirks. He goes, "Don't wait. Call today." Like it's so like intimate. I'm like, William Shatner, why are you doing
this? Why are you doing this?
I don't know. All right, let's get back to survival mode.
This is the branding of it's weird. So what is this? What is survival mode? Essentially, it is the same as current Fallout 76 vanilla, except in this mode, all of the PvP restrictions are off.
Welcome to the Thunderdome.
So it's essentially.
Oh, you're just not gonna not even
allow. No,
not
I'm not gonna. No, that's been done too many times.
Whatever.
If you wanted 1980 called, they want their movie back. Anywho,
actually, that was from a 2000s movie. So,
but as opposed to Mad Max 3 Beyond the Thunderdome,
I got it from Dane Cook. In I believe the movie was.
If you got it from Dane Cook, I will veto it.
It was before he.
It's been.
It
vetoed.
Was before he was corny. It was before he was, as the kids now say, canceled.
He's always been canceled. So here's the thing. Essentially, your character in adventure mode can go in between survival and back. It doesn't matter. Everything carries over. The progress carries over in every single mode. You in this current state, you don't have to make a new character, but. The only difference is that in survival mode, there are no PvP restrictions.
I feel like this is a mode that it's when I'm angry and want to relieve some stress.
Yeah.
I'm just going to want to go in and just.
But there's like a, like, in order to have a good relevant, like, PvP experience, your weapons kind of have to be balanced across the board.
Yeah.
So that somebody with a shotgun that is perked out for it and perked out, that's my new.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that. Perked out for it. He or she would be able to do the same amount of destruction and damage as somebody with a Deathclaw gauntlet in certain situations.
Speaking of, really enjoying the Deathclaw gauntlet.
You and me both. But I wish that maybe, like, because for me, there's no incentive to go play survival mode. What right. I would like to see is I would like to see maybe better chances of rewards mm-hmm. for doing something, certain things. Like when you scrap stuff, you get more whatever resources in survival mode. So like there's like a high risk, high reward scenario.
Right.
I'm all about those high risk, high reward scenarios. Mm-hmm. But if you're into that like PvP experience and kind of had that assumption, maybe this mode would be for you. Mm-hmm. They're still beta testing it and they expect it not to be out till March. That's what it essentially said. So that's what they've got as far as content that they've announced.
Personally, like I think that it's a promising idea. They just need to maybe I just hope that they make it right. Like I hope that it doesn't come out and have a bunch of problems because they've already been in trouble with having quite a few problems. Which mm-hmm. this one guy. I've been playing with, anytime something goes wrong, he's like, nope, this is a perfect game. There's nothing wrong with this game. How dare you say there's something wrong with this game? Like, every time. But no, they've had their fair share, so I'm hoping that this is something that they do take their time with. If it's not right, do not release it. Just wait.
Yeah, I think they have to make it different enough from the normal.
Yeah,
like, I would like to see is, like, a mode that is different enough that is the same experience, just, like, if you want people to engage in it, you've got to make the rewards like better. Like, because it's a harder experience, naturally, because more people are out to get you. So you have to, like, incentivize that so that people will play it.
Like you said, incentive. There has to be an incentive. If it's just like, oh, well, here's another mode that PvP is a little different. Like, what's the point? What's the point? It just, I don't know.
Right. So we've got some patch notes here.
Oh, boy, do we.
We do. And I thought about typing them up. But then I just did copy-paste. So I'm not going to read them all out, but I wanted to highlight a few.
Okay.
So I would call this the weekly report. So think about, what is that? You know, you got the Colbert Report. Mm-hmm. This is the Country Road Scholar Report.
No, we're just going to call it the report.
The report.
It's just the report.
So let's see. So here's some things as far as balance changes. One of the big things with this particular legendary weapon, if you're not familiar with it, it's a legendary weapon with both two-shot legendary effect and explosive legendary effect. And essentially what that was doing was adding two-shot added 100% damage, so twice the damage if it had that effect. And then if it had explosive, it had twice the damage that the normal gun does in explosive damage. So they have brought that down because they thought that essentially it was too powerful. I think it's now, let's see, I've got it here. It's 20% base damage, plus 20% base damage for explosives, and then plus 25 base damage for your two shot. But with the explosives, you still have the radius damage.
I just keep hearing that. Power by Kanye. No woman should have all that power. I just keep hearing that as you're reading this now.
But there's some other things that they changed that I don't necessarily think are particularly good. So I think that they saw that and they realized maybe the Demolition Expert, which is a perk, was too powerful. And so normally the ranks of that were plus 20, 40, 60, 80, up to 100 percent damage for explosives. Mm-hmm. And they moved that down to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Mm-hmm. Now, if it was just like something that affected the explosive weapons, that's fine. But what that's also affected is grenades, nuke launchers, missile launchers, auto grenade launchers, your regular grenade launchers. I feel like I'm Forrest Gump and the shrimp. got your gumbo shrimp.
You got fried shrimp, scampi.
So essentially, I use a lot of grenades.
I have never once used a grenade, weirdly enough.
Where I do a lot of melee. It's like my one range thing because like I've got the perk where you can see the arc, and so I'm able to throw the grenade because I can't sneak like with my current character. I can't sneak very well, and so I just like run in and
just run and gun.
And with this, it kind of like throws out the power of grenades because grenades aren't that powerful for high level enemies. It just like they can just shrug it off. These bad boys that are like the level 60, 70 super mutants, like low level enemies, you're going to be fine with. But for the bigger ones, it's kind of like a kneecapping, as they would say, grenades in general.
Right.
So I thought that was weird. One of the other things is so White Knight. And Licensed Plumber both have been reduced they were originally they had like a condition like the amount of materials that would be required to repair pipe weapons and your armor for the perk it was 30 60 90 but they moved it down to 20 40 60 and with high level armor with White Knight I mean it took stuff that would require 6 or 7 ballistic fiber to repair one leg down to just one ballistic fiber, which is a pretty hard to find resource. So I feel like that getting, like, taking that and changing it has changed how people play the game because now it's at a higher level when you're using a lot of the legendary armor that you can pick up and find. You're having to play more of the game just to use the things that you already have effectively rather than just naturally finding ballistic fiber, naturally finding this or that. You kind of have to increase the amount of grinding that you do in the game.
Yeah.
I got to thinking about this week.
You have some grievances.
I could go on with these patch notes. You can look at them online. There's some good stuff that they've done. like making all the plans known. But there's a bug with that where if you have a second character, it acts like all the plans that your first character knows them. One of the things that they got rid of was vendor randomization, so you don't have to hop servers anymore. They've just added all the plans to all the vendors. Prices have gone up for the plans, which is fine. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter to me, but you can find all of the plans in one place. So if you want a jetpack for your power armor, you can just go buy a jetpack for your power armor. You know, you don't have to server hop for like a 0.01% chance of having the correct vendor. Like, you don't have to play that game, mm-hmm. which is great. But when you, here's the thing. I'm a geography guy.
Yeah.
So I am in my schooling. Mm-hmm. One of the first exercises that we've done in sustainability and just how to engage in the world is studying ecological networks.
Right.
And so, like, you've heard of, like, trophic cascades and food chains and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The ecological network is essentially tracking, let's say you live on an island or you're looking at an island. Every species mm-hmm. on that island is part of their own food chain. So you've got, like, the algae is eaten by the smaller shrimp, and the shrimp are eaten by the fish, and the fish are eaten by the sharks, and then the giant mole people fight the sharks, and they kill them, and they eat them, and then the mole people are eaten by the like, there's there's a connection between all of that.
Yeah.
And one of the main things in it is that the theory is that when something is disrupted, it not only disrupts the things around it, mm-hmm. it disrupts the entire system.
Right.
And so, like, the main study of that is, like, human impact on mm-hmm. the environment. And so that's why it's like, okay, well, what changes can humans make to balance that out? And there's mm-hmm. a lot of different things about, you know, like, reduce, reuse, recycle. Hunting seasons is one of them, with white-tailed deer in mm-hmm. West Virginia overpopulate. And so that's mm-hmm. why you have a season. That's why you have a season for turkey. So you even have raccoon season.
Yeah.
Like, because there's just so many of these animals that are out there, and you have to kind of balance the ecosystem. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's really our fault for them being there. And so it's kind of like you're almost taking a developer standpoint. In the mm-hmm. same way, Fallout 76, when you make a change that's like that, then you kind of disrupt everything.
Yeah.
So when you change one perk,
mm-hmm.
now people have to spend more time doing that. Then what's the point of that perk? Well, I don't know. I might as well get rid of it. I don't really mm-hmm. need it right now because it's not helping me as it used to. So maybe this portion of it. Same thing for the explosives perk. It's like, now I can't use grenades. So what's the point of having these other perks and grenades if I can't have the full damage of it?
So you think there's going to be like a domino effect just kind of carry through?
I mean, I think that there is. I think that certain play styles have changed. One of the things that they do when they change any kind of perk or any kind of thing in World of Warcraft, which is probably the most successful multiplayer game in the history of the world, is that every time that they release a perk change or something changes in their stats, they give a full respec mm-hmm. to every character on the server. And I think that's necessary. If they're going to go through and try to balance perks, I think mm-hmm. that every time they balance a perk, they have to do a full respec for every character and have to offer that up. Rather than this, like, oh, you gain a level and you get the 1 point or you can pick a perk. It's like, no, just set all the stats back to zero. Give us the amount of points that we could add, which is if you're over level 50, is up to 50 or whatever level you are. If you're level mm-hmm. 37, give them 37. And then say, okay, you want the things that you had before? That's fine. You can put them in there. You can put the exact same stats you had before. But let's say that you had been with explosives and now you don't think they're as powerful. Okay, change that. Mm-hmm. Go like play the way that you think is best.
Right.
And that's particularly relevant considering Bethesda's history with like system-based games. Mm-hmm. That's their strong suit, is that all of these systems connect to each other. That's my personal rant for today.
It's good to vent sometimes.
It's good to vent.
Sometimes you just got to let it out.
Sometimes, you know, it's
but like, I'm there with you. I am in agreement with everything you just said.
The ecological network. Like, I you know, and they're trying to figure it out, you know. they opened up this new studio, BGS Austin, who's been working on the game. They're trying to figure out how, you know, they've got some, I think, some real experts of you know, people that have worked with MMOs and multiplayer games of how to do it. And I think, you know, this process, we're all just kind of cutting our teeth on it. You know,
they'll get there.
Trying to figure it out. So I'm optimistic, but I do think it needs to be said that when they're, you know, that you can't just go and change things haphazardly. Yeah. Like, you know, there's still going to be segments of this podcast that I think are dumb that I'm just not going to change. Like, we're not going to, you know, people expect, you know, if you go to your old coffee stand and they've got a new type of bean that you're using, you're tasting their coffee and you think that bean is crap and you bought that coffee that day, you're going to be disappointed.
I just picture the Simpsons, the newspaper clip, the old man yells at Cloud.
Yeah, that's
you right
that's
now.
That's me
yelling
right now. Old man yells at Cloud. Yeah, everything. That is 100% me. There are some other good changes in the patch notes, and I think that they were really working towards it. There are some reports, and I'm not sure the validity of this, and I'm not sure of, you know, because there's also a lot of misinformation out there about the state of the game, because there's a lot of people online who want to see it fail and feed false information, which I think it's weird that there's fake news about an entertainment game.
Yeah. Well, but people just think it's cool to hate the game, I think.
Yeah, that's part of it.
you like Fallout 76? Yeah, well, I'm going to be over here playing Fallout 3 because it's so much better.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to be playing Fallout 0. Because, you know, and that's back on the Commodore 64, and that's when it was like they had the real vision.
Yeah.
Anywho. Austin, what have you been up to in the world of Appalachia?
I'm finally just about to level 50.
Oh, you're going to hit that top shelf level.
Been working my way up. Better late than never.
So I went to your camp.
Yeah.
Explain to me what's upgrade. Explain to me what is going on with this, because I get a text in the middle of the week that says Mondo Burger's dead. So I want to hear.
So I met with a few of my business partners, and we all sort of had this discussion that Mondo Burger just sounds threatening and ominous, and it just doesn't really sound like something that someone's going to want to go to, and it has the negative. You know, it's got a kind of a negative vibe to it because, you know, the Mondo Burger and Good Burger, there were a lot of bad people there. And
so that's like a tarnished legacy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it was a fun idea at first. And we all admitted we had our fun. And we met with the board and we met with a few other people.
Yeah, you met with the board.
And we decided.
How many members are on the board?
One. And we met with myself, and we decided that we were going to change the name, rebrand. Tear it down, start from the ground up.
Wow. How'd you get the votes for that?
It was tough. I had to look myself in the mirror and ask myself, hey, are we doing this? And it was a resounding yes. Mostly because of copyright claims and lawsuits incoming. But
If you could please contact Mondo Burger and tell them to stop filing copyright claims against.
I got several cease and desist. It was crazy. And
Mondo corporate there.
Who would have thought that Nickelodeon would still be hot about Mondo
Nick
Burger?
Nick Cannon's over there throwing out. So he's got a team of lawyers.
So we went ahead and we tore it down. It was a hard day. But ultimately, we decided to go a new direction, and I'm really pleased to announce that Silver's is now Silver's Lounge.
Silver's Lounge
is now open for business. Mm-hmm. We are located just outside of Sutton, so pretty, you know, relaxed, very easygoing area. Mm-hmm. You know, we rebranded. When you walk in, there's complimentary purified water. As you walk through the front door, so you're refreshed. You come in with a refreshed mindset, a refreshed attitude,
so
a refreshed palate.
Like
you walk in, you go around, and we've got a second floor, very spacious second floor, good lighting. We've got a bar set up. We have some very comfortable lounging areas, a grand piano, and then we actually have a balcony on each side of the building. You know, for all your comfort and really anything you're looking for, And, you know, we had a soft opening about a week ago. Mm-hmm. But now I'm pleased to announce that starting tonight, it's actually Silver's Lounge is open for business. So it's an exciting time. It's been a really stressful time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Mondo Burger in the past, Silver's Lounge is here to stay.
What was the interview that Marshawn Lynch had, or whoever plays for the Seattle Seahawks?
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
No, he had that whole interview where he just kept on saying the exact same thing over and over again.
He did that. He just kept saying, "I'm just here so I won't get fined."
Yeah,
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah,
yeah. There was that, or my other favorite Marshawn Lynch interview. He said, "Oh, I'm gonna get got, but I'm gonna make sure I get mine more than I get got though."
That's good.
That's one of my favorite quotes ever.
That's some logic.
Also, another favorite quote is, "Some people don't think it be like it is, but it do." So that's another one of my
favorite. I think he could be your spokesman for
Marshawn.
Yeah.
Well, Skittles sent him to, because remember he was eating Skittles on the sideline during his games. He always eats Skittles.
Yeah.
Skittles sent him to Ireland one summer just to pass out Skittles to people, and they filmed everything, and it was beautiful.
That's great.
So I think if I get him to Silver's Lounge, I mean, it could be pretty cool. So, you know, Marshawn, come on down, Silver's. It's a cool place. I'm very satisfied with it. We had a lot of support during the soft opening. We had about 3 people come out. Yeah. So it's been really overwhelming, the support we've gotten from those 3 people. They all 3 just happened to be in a party with me when I did it. And I just told them to come check it out.
Yeah.
But no, actually, one of my buddies, his name is Leon. He assisted me.
Yeah.
In the lighting, especially
in the lighting department. Mm-hmm.
I designed the building. He helped me with some of the lights.
I went to Silver's.
Yeah.
But it was not located in Sutton.
No. Yeah. See, we started in the Savage Divide. We had a great overlook, but the building, we just had some neighbors that were not that friendly where we were located, and really did not want Silver's to be there. And so we took that as a hint, and we moved to a very safe area that maybe not as crime ridden. And we placed a security system there that humanely, you know, contains any sort of violence or any sort
all
of
right.
crime.
I'm against all of this. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Silver's, I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Silver's is a lot of marketing lingo. You've generated a whole marketing portfolio, and I'm saying Silver's is all talk.
Anybody can come to Silver's and see for themselves and experience it firsthand, and
let me give you some cold hard facts. Okay.
Okay.
Let me come over. All right. We've been to Silver's Land.
Yeah.
We got all that. We got all this corporate mumbo jumbo coming out of your mouth about what you got. Let me give you an update on best restaurant this side of the canal. That's Squat and Gobble, as we lovingly refer to it as Squat and Gobble.
Yeah. But see, unfortunately for you, the Squat and Gobble is located, on the other side of the Kanawha River.
Exactly. Best side of the Kanawha River.
Yeah. So, well, unfortunately, I mean, I've actually been James Beard nominated. I don't know if you knew that or not.
You've been James Beard nominated?
Yeah. So,
if you don't know what that is, that's like a, explain to the, it's like a it's local award.
James Beard is the biggest award in the food industry that you can get, ultimately.
Yeah.
So there's two places.
Yeah, places in Huntington just got.
Yeah,
just got,
so Jim's Spaghetti House,
yeah, that's what
was just nominated. So they join
they
us.
They need a better name than Jim's Spaghetti House.
I think it's Jim's Steak and Spaghetti House.
But they need a better name than that.
But they so they join us as
oh, really?
The only other James Beard nominated restaurant. So when you get your, I mean, it's cute that it's cute that you guys are open and that you guys are doing your thing. But when you get James Beard nominated, you just come talk
this
to us.
The
it's
whole
cool.
thing.
It's
okay.
whatever. It's cool.
All
it's,
right.
It's fine.
Anyways, moved.
Yeah.
Because I'm making these cranberry cobblers.
Yeah.
You see, in the game, and I think they're called cranberry pies.
Right.
They might be called cranberry cobblers. I don't know. I'm calling them cranberry cobblers because that's alliteration. I like that a whole lot.
Okay.
The great thing about them is they fill you up, mm-hmm. and they give you a 5% experience boost.
Yeah.
And when you started out, I was providing you some cranberry cobblers. Now, the mm-hmm. only bad thing about it is in Charleston, you had to pay 38 caps to get down to the glades, mm-hmm. you know, as I'll lovingly call them, glades, yeah. and go pick some cranberries.
Yeah.
And then you had to travel back.
Right.
So it's a whole thing. So yeah. I decided, I was like, okay, I need to move my base, my squat and gob,
yeah.
back down to the Cranberry Glades.
So 38 was, caps was just too much for you? I don't speak broke. I'm sorry.
If you want to run your
I've got my AirPods in. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. So, okay, I'm just kidding. Continue your story.
Moved it down. I'm right in front. If you load in to the train vendor, the Watoga Station train vendor, you'll immediately see my base on the left. Yeah. You literally can't miss it if you were traveling to that area.
Right.
I wanted to put it as close to Watoga as possible, but also near the Sundrew Cove, which is to the south, which mm-hmm. is where I get my special ingredient.
Right.
You know, I'm like Mr. Krabs, and I got to mm-hmm. go get my special ingredient to yes. make my Krabby Patty. Mm-hmm. So moved it there, and I thought about marketing. I was like, well, you know, it's there, but how do I, like, increase my game?
Right.
How do I, like, make it so that people know where I'm at?
Yeah.
So I built a giant siren.
Oh, you and my uncle have something in common.
Yes, we do. And I put a pressure plate connected to it. And yeah. so I just, if I see somebody near, instead of like going to them, I'll just press the siren. And then everybody in the city of Watoga
yeah.
knows is like, something is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get closer yeah. to the sound to figure out what the issue is.
Which I feel like people typically go to Watoga because stuff's popping off and they want to take part in it.
Right.
So when they hear that, it's like,
they're like, oh, something's popping off. Guess what?
They just probably popping think off it's an at event the squat and gob. Or something's going on. So, nope, just squat and gob, just not being James Beard nominated.
You know. See, we don't define ourselves by awards. We just define ourselves by the quality of the customers yeah. that we get.
You know, Silver's Lounge, our bank account, we define ourselves by awards. James Beard nominated 3 times.
I'm done with you, and we're moving on to the next segment. Austin, you ready to go down the mound town?
Oh, we're going to take them to mound
town. Down to mound town. I'll take everybody I know down the mound town.
So today we are going to talk about a location in West Virginia.
Well, first of all, before I get you started, we're recording this at like 5 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, I get an audible of like, we're changing up what we're talking about. And us being experts on West Virginia, we just roll with the punches here. And so this, let me tell you, this like delightful piece of content is coming to you with an immense amount of preparation for just 2 hours.
Yeah.
We roll with the punches.
Well, I feel like sometimes, like today, we were just kind of like, you know what? Like, we're not necessarily winging it. But we just know where we want to go with this.
We know, see, you know, we're like an open book, and you know, we could just regurgitate the information, yes. but we also could like, you know, put our own little spin on it. I'll let you take it away though.
So today we're going to go on up, way, way up to the northern panhandle of the state, to a little town, little city called Moundsville,
mm-hmm.
which I don't believe is in the game. The city of Moundsville.
No,
I don't
there's
think
no,
there
there's
any,
no Moundsville in the game.
But Moundsville is
there's no Wheeling in the game. I just realized.
Yeah, I know.
That.
Well,
no
so
Wheeling.
There's Deathclaw Island, which I believe is maybe kind of a reference to Wheeling Island, possibly because it's about where Wheeling is, and there's there's Deathclaw Island, and Wheeling Island is right there.
Maybe
so,
that'll be DLC because that's right near Pittsburgh. That's maybe. Like. Literally,
apparently, a lot of people think that Moundsville, Wheeling could have been what Pittsburgh is now. It had apparently the potential. It's a river town, a lot of
yeah.
factories, a lot of mills,
yeah,
pretty great
that.
Area.
It could have had
that
a similar.
It just never really boomed the way Pittsburgh did.
Right.
But that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So, just south of Wheeling
mm-hmm.
Is a little town called Moundsville. And Moundsville is very appropriately named.
Mm-hmm.
There is what I believe is the Grave Creek Mound. It's an ancient Native American burial ground.
Mm-hmm. So the Native Americans they like have these mounds that mm-hmm. they bury the people in.
And I think they date back, you know, thousands of years. Mm-hmm. To very, very, very early settlers.
Right.
Well, right in the center of town, there's this giant mound. Mm. And there's like a discovery center and, you know, a lot of old artifacts.
There's
and
a mound in South Charleston.
South Charleston,
too.
Is one here. Yeah. There's several in Ashland, Kentucky, just across the border.
You can go up there and get a drug deal in South Charleston.
But listen, so in Moundsville, there's this mound, the Grave Creek Mound. But right across the street from it, there is this giant, ominous looking building that is actually in Fallout 76, and it's mm-hmm. known as the West Virginia, I believe it's just the West Virginia Penitentiary.
I think it's Eastern Regional State.
Yeah, in the game, it's the Eastern Regional Penitentiary. Yeah. In real life, it's just the West Virginia State Penitentiary. Mm. So, let me give you a little backstory on it. We're going to get into a little bit of the real life history of the Eastern Regional Penitentiary, because when you stumble upon it in the game, I think a lot of people maybe just think that it's just another big kind of, because typically there's super mutants there, I believe, every time I've gone.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it's just sort of like a fort almost, like just a defense. Mm. But it's a real place, and it has a very disturbing history.
Yes.
We're getting dark today.
Let's get a little.
Just buckle up.
I'm feeling a little spooky.
We're getting real dark today.
Yeah.
All right. So following West Virginia's secession from Virginia in the 1800s, mm-hmm. The state of West Virginia was left with an extreme shortage, actually, of institutions like, most notably, prisons. Mm. So Governor Arthur Borman at the time requested, a giant, brand new prison to be constructed.
Right.
It was denied at first, but then over the next several years, there were tons and tons and tons of prison breaks, and all of these inmates were escaping, and it was just a real problem.
Were they singing "Who Let the Dogs Out"?
We're not going to go there. So, eventually, after all of these prison breaks, and after it was kind of apparent that the jails and the prisons that were in place just were not going to be able to keep up with these people, about 10 acres of land were purchased just outside of the little town of Moundsville, which was a perfect location because Wheeling at the time, which is now currently about a 10 to 15 minute drive north, Wheeling was the state capital at the time. Charleston was not the state capital. Right. There's a whole story of it going back and forth
between
Wheeling and Charleston.
The Civil War happened. It was the whole thing. We'll get into that.
So they had all of these prisoners that were going to be staying there build the prison. So they had prisoners build their own prison, which is like, to me, that's like a baller power move.
That's like a
by the state of West Virginia.
Well, that's a little screwed up.
It's screwed up, but it's also a power move. They're like, listen, you're going to build this, and then you're going to be trapped in here.
Mm.
So, psychotic, but a power move. A very psychological power move. Mm-hmm. So, it was designed to look very similar to the state prison that was in, is it Joliet, Illinois? How do you pronounce it?
I don't know. I have no clue.
I don't know. I didn't know if you maybe knew.
No.
It could be Joliet.
The only place I've been in Illinois is
I've never been to Illinois.
Bellevue?
So I can't say. Could have butchered it. If anyone from Illinois, correct me. But it's this classic sort of Gothic style stone structure. There were turrets and battlements, and it's like a parapet wall at the top. And
yeah,
very, very ominous looking building. And it's one of those buildings that you just look at it, and even back then, I feel like you'd be like, oh, that place is haunted. It could be brand new, but it's like, oh, that place is haunted. Just creepy, disturbing-looking building.
Right.
So originally, when it was brand new, it was a pretty great design. It was going to hold a decent amount of inmates, but not too many. They would each have their own cell, which, you know, it wasn't going to be a luxurious prison, but they would have enough room for them themselves. They would have a bed, a toilet, a sink, everything like that.
Yeah.
And it actually had its own carpentry shop. It had a paint shop, a wagon shop, a stone yard, a brick yard, a blacksmith, a tailor, a bakery, a hospital, its own coal mine about a mile away, and a farm.
That's way better than Silver's.
So it's like, okay, we're not. All right. We'll see. So it was a very successful prison in the early days. Yeah. I mean, you look at it and it's like all was well. And then this is when like Ron Howard in Arrested Development comes in and all was not well.
Yeah.
Like you just hear the
you hear the
narrator
little
voice
cue.
Come in.
It's like the title credits for Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So it's like the gang, it's going to be a great day. The gang has a terrible day.
So basically things went south eventually, you know, over the years conditions started to worsen and then the prison started to get very overpopulated. You know, they started having where it was originally designed to hold, you know, one inmate per cell.
Mm-hmm.
They would have three inmates in a cell, so they'd have a bunk bed. So they would have two there and then one on a mattress in the floor in this little, you know, like 8 by 8 foot by like 4 foot cell. Mm-hmm. Pretty miserable, tight space, you know, just pretty, like, I mean... You look at that and maybe you could stay in there for a little bit, but if you have these people staying together like that for years on end, you're going to get restless. And a lot of the inmates started to their spirits dropped. They became violent. They were restless. And the prison started to turn into a madhouse. And one of my favorite stories is about a little place in the prison called the Sugar Shack. Have you ever heard of the Sugar Shack?
I actually have.
Yeah. So the Sugar Shack... it became a very infamous location. There were murders, sexual assaults, physical assaults of all kinds in the Sugar Shack monthly. Which I'm still. How do you kill and rape somebody in a place called the Sugar Shack? How is there this much violence in a place called the Sugar Shack?
Yeah, I feel like they would be like call it the Murder Shack, the Death Shack.
How do you
shack,
not change the name?
The Evil Shack.
How do you keep the name the Sugar Shack when this is continuing?
Why do we
to
have
happen?
To associate it with Shaquille O'Neal in the first place?
Oh Lord. Oh God, the dad jokes. They just I'm proud of you actually. You've stuck true to your brand.
That's true. Yeah.
All right.
I am me. It's funny because we'll play the game with people and I'll still crack these jokes and they'll 100%. Laugh and I'll be like, yeah, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
This
off
is how
the
I
air,
am.
I'm still, yeah.
This is how I am.
So the Sugar Shack, it was sort of tight quarters. There, a lot of the guards didn't like going there because it could go south real quick with a lot of inmates. So it was sort of just, you know, the guards didn't have a heavy presence, so the prisoners could just kind of do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this story about an inmate named R.D. Wall, and he came in, and I believe he had maybe, he was convicted for, like, sexual assault. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a life sentence or anything, but he was serving a little bit of time. And he started to sort of grow a bond with the warden. The warden started to like him. And then he started to relay messages to the warden. So he was basically a snitch or a rat or whatever you want to call him. And the other inmates became aware of this, that he was not one of them. That he was definitely kind of selling them all out. So they trapped him in the Sugar Shack. They each stabbed him repeatedly with homemade knives. And then this is just kind of the extra part. They cut him up into little pieces to dispose of the evidence, which obviously did not work because I'm now here talking about how they killed R.D. Wall and chopped him into little pieces.
Right.
So I don't know what happened to them or if they ended up, you know, serving a longer sentence or how long it took them to determine it was him.
Right.
But yeah, so a lot of violence. There's a report that the total number of homicides there was 36, but there's also been reports that there were hundreds.
Right.
Let's see, from 1899 to 1959, there were 94 people executed in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another sort of interesting story. The last public hanging in West Virginia took place at Moundsville. And it wasn't really like, you know, there was no like particular reason it was the last one. There was just like one little detail that happened that they decided it was going to be the last public one.
Yeah.
This guy, Frank Heyer, was his name. And when he was hung, the weight of his body literally just decapitated him in front of the whole crowd. So they quit. It's like, yeah.
What was his name?
Frank Heyer.
Hang him high.
Oh, God. Now you're just like, oh, man, the people love it. I'm going with it.
I'm poking holes, man.
And then from that point after that happened, they still held, you know, they would still hang inmates, but in, you know, more private setting. And there was,
A more private setting. Yeah. Well, when you have a decapitation that's happening in front of an entire crowd,
yeah.
I would say that would be off-putting for everyone.
Yeah. Well, there was another story. They had a lot of issues with hangings there.
Yeah.
After that incident, not long after that, they were hanging this group of three that had all murdered someone. Mm. So they had to bring them in. There are these kind of adjacent buildings that each have a trap door in them. So a lot of people assume that at the time those were where they would maybe hold the hangings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story that these three men had to flip a coin. They flipped a coin on who would go first, and they would bring them in one by one. And the first guy they brought in out of the three of them, the trap door dropped before they could get the noose all the way around his neck. So he just fell like 15 feet and broke his legs. And then they drug him back up and made him actually, like, then they did it. So he had to do it twice. He had to break his leg. Yeah, very dark place.
Yeah,
it seems like a lot of terrible things happened in this prison.
Where were the regulations at?
Listen, a lot of terrible things happened in this prison. So now the building is open for tours.
Yeah,
which you would be like, oh, yeah, it's a very historic building. I'm sure that they the tours are more so because of how haunted this place is.
Yeah, that's what I've read. Yeah.
People like Ghost Adventures has been there. Ghost Hunters has been. All of these paranormal investigators come in every year.
Mm-hmm.
They do overnight tours. They do day tours. They have a haunted house set up. I mean, yes. It's a very big deal. But even so, now you look back and you look at, you know, the 100+ years it was in operation, because I think it closed down in the 90s finally, just because it was just so run down and just the conditions.
What happened with the asylum too?
Well, I mean, on top of the murders and stuff, just the overpopulation. Disease was spreading. People were dying from, you know, dysentery and just all of these other, what was it that Arthur had in Red Dead?
Typhoid.
Typhoid, tuberculosis.
Gangrene.
Yeah, I was trying to think of tuberculosis. Why could I not think of tuberculosis? But all of these crazy...
The Hershey Kisses.
The food was getting contaminated and it was just disgusting, and they couldn't stop it. So all of these people were dying. But even, you know, like I said, you look back and you see, oh yeah, okay, now all of this is over. You have these spirits. Even during its operation, I think in the earlier 1900s, there was an incident where several guards thought they saw someone walking on the by the wall outside of the prison. And they thought it was an inmate escaping, and so they locked the prison down. They all, you know, they sent a team out, and there was no one outside. And these people swore that they saw this shadow that went around the corner, and they knew it was an inmate. And every single inmate in the prison was accounted for, and there was no one outside by the wall. And then now they still say that they see a shadow man in the prison. Yeah. And it wanders the halls. And there was a story about one woman who was getting set up to do a tour in like 10 minutes time. And so she was checking all the rooms, making sure everything was unlocked, making sure there was no issue. And she said that she saw a shadow duck into this room, and she thought it was one of her coworkers trying to scare her and get a jump on her. So she went to this room. And she jumps in really quick to scare them rather than them scare her.
Right.
And there was no one in the room. And there was that one way into the room. And, you know, there's that. There's in terms of the buildings I mentioned about the trap doors and the hangings, there have been people that have walked in, and they say that they hear someone walking around on the trapdoor above, and they felt maybe like something, it feels as if something is like sliding down the back of their neck. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them think that this is maybe the feeling of a noose, or, you know, I like to imagine if the guy walking around on the trapdoor is the dude that to drop through twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a violent, I mean, hanging in itself is a violent way to go, but to have first been dropped, break your legs, and then just be dragged right back up to get hanged. Like that's not a good way to go.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting, and the thing that I know a lot about, Well, you got any more? What kind of facts you? You've obviously is that all you got on this place? You got more?
No.
Okay,
I took the creepy route, but no. I mean, overall, like, what are you?
So here's
interested
the thing.
In?
I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue about this place.
Yeah.
Until I saw a casting call in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, there was a casting call going on for a TV show that required extras for scenes shot at Moundsville State Penitentiary. I was like, well, I have no clue what that is. Came through my newsfeed. I didn't think a thing of it.
Yeah.
Fast forward. Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Hulu Live. Mm-hmm. We're big. We like the Hulu original stuff. You watch that 11/22/64 with James Franco and his pretty butt.
I still need to watch that.
That's good. So the series comes on, or they're previewing it, and it's produced by J.J. Abrams and along with Stephen King, and it's this TV show where they're combining a few Stephen King stories into this show called Castle Rock, and it's got I don't want to say the villain, but the like creepy guy of the show is Bill Skarsgård, who is right now most famous for playing Pennywise in the It movie.
Yeah.
And so it's him, and it's all about this boy that they find in a prison. And everything in the prison and all the shots of the prison, the inside, the outside, were all recorded at Moundsville State Penitentiary, where they put the boy when he's out of wherever they find him. They put him in the sugar shack.
Like, really?
So there's scenes that they shoot where he's in the cell in the sugar shack. And I was like, thinking, it didn't connect to me when I was watching the show, because it's a really good show, and it's about, like, it's not technically set in West Virginia. They set it somewhere up in the Northeast in New England. Because they call it Shawshank Prison, essentially, there. And it's in this town. And there's, like, this mysterious element to the town where there's, like, people say that there's a curse put upon the town. And you find out, and I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody, because it's a really good show and you should watch it.
Right. I need to watch it.
But the way that they, like, have this kind of supernatural element to this character in the prison is truly creepy, and the setting for it is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then looking up where, like, they shot some of the stuff to the actual prison, it looks exactly like that. And so when I ran across it in Fallout 76, I was like, I want to go to the Sugar Shack and I want to see what's in there. And you can go in there. It looks exactly like it did in the show. Because I haven't actually been into, I've seen pictures. I haven't actually been into Moundsville.
So a few months ago, I was in Moundsville. And I went down to the mound, and I was shooting some video and some photos of the mound, and it's just so weird.
Gotta get some shots of some nice mounds.
Because you just stand, you're in the parking lot across the street, and there's houses all around. It's a big, you know, there's neighborhoods,
right?
And there's the mound, and there's like this nice Discovery Center.
How many times? Take a shot every time we say mound.
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 So you look across the street. And I mean, it's not a very wide street, just and it's not a busy street. You feel like you're just in this residential area,
right?
And there's this big compound, just huge prison, and I looked at it and I just kind of stood there for a second. And, you know, I'm looking at the state seal up on the top and I'm looking at all the windows. And it's just like, man, you just get this depressing, just dark feeling. Like, it's just, but it's in the coolest way. Like, it's such a dark place, but it's so interesting. Like, you want to, you want to explore it. And it, and I mean, it's a big attraction now. I mean, people flock up there every year to get it, to get an experience, to see what it's like, because I mean, it is one of the creepiest places. If you haven't, I mean, obviously you've probably seen it in the game, but if you haven't looked up pictures of the real thing, like in the game, everything is run down and just looks kind of dark.
Right.
But look at it in real life. I mean, it is creepy.
Yeah, it is.
And I've seen some documentaries. There was one that they had a guy that served a little bit of time in there, I think in the late 80s or early 90s, right before they closed it.
Yeah.
And he was saying even then, he was telling some stories about people getting shanked and how dark, and even I think he mentions that there were really negative energies and he thought it was haunted then. And just this, I think he said it was just like hell on earth.
That's crazy. And
they're showing him walk through this place now. And he's just like telling stories about, oh yeah, this guy got killed in here when I was here. And this guy got stabbed in here. And I mean, it's at one point, I think still now, it's in the top 10 of the most violent correctional facilities in the country of all time, I think. Mm-hmm. Just because of just how terrible this place was.
That's interesting. And it's like there are events and quests tied to that jail in Fallout 76 across the Toxic Valley. So like you could run into robots that are labeled as jailers or marshals or something, and you go on a manhunt for an escaped prisoner, or they think you are an escaped prisoner, or you're like helping them like run this facility in a certain way. It's interesting how they've incorporated it and have kind of like are telling the story across that region of the Toxic Valley.
Yeah. I am still trying to get a group of people together, and this could be fun. We could even try to find, we need to set up a day. Well, no, this would be a night for any listeners who are not that far away. We meet them. They do overnight stays at the West Virginia State Penitentiary. I want to do it. I want to have an overnight.
Yeah, you can do that there, and you can do it at the asylum.
Asylum,
too.
Yeah. An overnight stay, which the asylum is Fort Defiance in the game. For anyone who doesn't know, that will be that is a little different. I don't know if they do full overnight there. They might.
They might. I
know that they do flashlight tours though.
Right.
But the penitentiary, they do these overnight tours, and no one will go with me. I know I'll be terrified. Like, I know I will be wanting out. And I think that there's sort of like a home base that they set up, that there is someone there, and it's...
they've got like somebody that stays with them.
Yeah, and it's... But you can just go through with flashlights and explore the prison.
If we ever did a vlog, that's what I would want to do.
It would be like, for me, it would be like the guy that's on Ellen that she sends every Halloween into the haunted house and he's freaking out.
Yeah.
That would be me. But I want to do it. Like, I want to go. So I think I think they're closed for the winter, possibly. They actually might be open. I'm not for sure. So don't quote me on that. But I think it would be fun. And if there are any people, if anyone is interested, let us know.
Yes.
Because maybe sometime this year we might be able to set that up and because I don't think it's very expensive either. It's pretty, I think it's like $40 and you can stay overnight.
I'm not a travel agent. I don't know anything.
Yeah. Well, would you be interested in going up for an overnight stay?
You got to convince me this. This guy, I've got to.
How about this? If you don't do the overnight stay, let's just at least go do a tour of it.
I'd be down.
Okay. Or I think they do like partial overnight stays where you can do like your own flashlight tour for like 2 hours.
I don't know. My bed is pretty freaking comfy. And I've got these dogs.
That's
and
true.
They,
well,
you know.
I mean, it's okay if you're scared. You can just tell me you're scared. It's cool. It's cool.
Let me tell you.
You can just admit to
for the man that can't watch Marble Hornets.
That was Nick, not me. So
that was partially you.
No, it was I was just messing with you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was just messing with you guys. I wasn't serious. That stuff's not scary to me.
Well, I find that all very interesting.
So, yeah, next time you are going by the Eastern Regional Penitentiary. Look at it in a different light and realize that that place is home to some very violent spirits.
Yes. That's why it's all the super mutants. They're all just very violent.
Yes. But it is definitely...
You can get a prison collar there, too. Fun fact. Yeah. And that's the only place you can get a prison collar. You can wear it around your neck.
Pretty sure it's labeled as one of the most haunted places in America.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, that and the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
We got some dark history
Fort
here.
Collins. Well, Austin, our next segment is mail, and we have a really good email, but I don't think that we have time to get into it this week. So I will tease you and say that we've got a really nice, pretty comprehensive listener email that they sent in. I want to get to, but I don't think we have time this week. So I'm sorry. You know, we have these busy schedules. You know, we do all this stuff. We're working on that. We're in a new space. We're doing new stuff. We've got to make some stuff work. Well, Austin, for today, that's it. Don't forget to email us your questions at vaultboyswv@gmail.com. We'll be answering all that mail next week, so if you write in, we'll be able to see it. We'll be able to read it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to judge you. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to read it out on here. But you can check us out on social media at vaultboyspod. We changed that up so that you could find us. On there for everything Vault Boys that we do at the podcast, this one, or Stakeout. And it would really help us out if you tell your friends that you're listening, that you enjoy the podcast. It always helps to have new listeners. The best way to do is personal affirmation between your friends. I always recommend things to my friends. I had a buddy of mine recommend to me Castle Rock, and I was like, well, that sounds great. I like J.J. Abrams.
I need to give it a try.
I like Stephen King. I like Bill Skarsgård.
If it's shot here, I feel like I have to like it. Like, it's going to... I feel like I'm definitely going
You're
to
missing
like
out.
It.
You're missing out. I would say this is, like, right up with, like... It's like one step under We Are Marshall is a part of, like, West Virginia culture, you know?
As a fart of West Virginia culture.
I don't know if it's a fart. But from... Well, I didn't set myself well enough up for this, so let me... From Hall to Highway, we've got you covered 6 ways to Sunday. Stay tuned in next week for more talk radio on your favorite Appalachian station. And may the wisest Mothman bless you.
The wisest.
May the wisest.
The wisest.
May the wisest Mothman bless you as you travel these country roads. Is that blocked up enough for you?